I can't believe I'm up here. I guess Pastor Ed, like, I think it was 3 weeks ago, yeah. He said, are you wanting to give your testimony? And I said, no. And I went and sat back down. He said, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you, you know? And what he doesn't know is that, like, several weeks before that, like, every day I was in Saline, I would, like, get this gut feeling like I needed to do something at the church. And I'd come down here, and he wouldn't be here. Like, his truck wouldn't be here. And then I'd call, nobody to answer, you know. And one day I came in after church. I just had missed him. And Gail, is that right? Yes. She said, well, you're going to have to set an appointment. But that's not the way my God works. I don't, if I'm supposed to do something, it'll be right, like, how he asked me, like, you want to give your testimony? So I had to text him and be like, yeah, I'll go ahead and do it, because that's my God, you know, that's the God I know, and, like, I have to follow that. Anyways, like, my childhood, I don't really remember a lot about it growing up. Like, there's some things that stick out to me, like, memorable things, and I remember one year sitting on Santa's lap and asking him for my grandpa to quit smoking cigarettes, you know? And he didn't, and he died of lung cancer, you know? But I do remember my mom getting breast cancer, and I remember praying about that. And I was little, you know? I was probably Bryce's age, maybe a little bit younger. And I remember truly praying for her to get better, and she's still alive. Like, she's healed from it, you know? My parents got divorced whenever I was pretty little. They lived about 3 hours away. We always went to church whenever they were married, and then everything just kind of fell apart after that. I grew up in Solomon, but I still remember walking down there going, like, friends and stuff like that, and I remember being the only one in my family still going. I got pregnant very young. I had my daughter at 16. But I was still able to finish high school, and I ended up going to college, and I can't remember if it was, like, my first or second year of college. I was still with her dad, and he would drink a lot, and I remember him coming home from the bar one night, because I wasn't old enough to go to the bars, and he was, and he came home, and he was very drunk and being crazy, and I just had enough, and I went to go get her out of the other room and tell him I was leaving. And he pulled a gun out, and he shot himself in the mouth in front of me. And like I said, I was young, and I didn't really know what to do with that. That was a mess, you know? It was a mess, a complete mess. Like, I tried to go into counseling, and counseling gave me panic attacks because they wanted me to talk about things. And then there was this guy that was about 15 to 20 years older than me, and he introduced me to meth. And I could handle life on meth, you know? I could go to work. I wasn't scared of anything. So that's what I'd done for about 10 years, like, just ran around with him, and drugs and alcohol just kind of became my life. Like, I would switch, like, when something would start, like, when meth started being too much, I switched to pills for a long time. I was on that for about 10 years as well. And that's only a temporary fix. Like, the drugs and alcohol, you can only go so long before it starts moving into a downward spiral. So I had worked at Abilene Machine for about 16 years, and the whole time I was using, you know? And eventually it just fell off. I ended up getting fired because of a fight at a Christmas party. And I got a job at LDI up in Wetmore. And I went up there and immediately hooked up with the neighbor who was a drug dealer, you know, like, became my best friend. And I ended up having an experience up there that was, it was a psychotic break is what it was, you know, like, there was one point when I was trying to pull my gums off of my mouth, and I was trying to come out of my body. Like, I was not right, you know? And I cannot believe I came back from that experience. I didn't come back right for a long time. I looked different. I ended up getting fired from that job because I would rather have people thought I was crazy than on drugs, actually. Like, and I don't, I know that sounds nuts, but like, I just let them think I was crazy, you know? I was trying to get a picture of one of my mugshots, and they said they didn't do that because I've never actually looked at it, but they say it's so bad that I was unrecognizable, you know? Like, I thought it'd be a good time for me to look at it and maybe share it just so you'd get an idea of who I was then, because it was really bad. My life was pretty much just fear, anxiety at that point. And then I moved back to Abilene, and I was still in the drug world, so I met this person, a friend, and he came, and he had kind of that same kind of psychotic break experience that I had had. And so we were able to talk about that, and we became friends. You know, it was somebody I bonded with. And at one point in our friendship, he told me I was far away from God. And I hadn't thought about God in a long time. And it made me sad. You know, like, I didn't want to be far away from God. And thinking about it now makes me sad because I can't believe God could send a drug addict into my life to be able to speak to me, you know? Like, he's just that amazing because, like, I wouldn't have listened to anybody else at that point, you know? So I don't know how I came to this church, actually. Like, but I did. Like, my sister, I think, was coming here around that time. But whenever I came, I remember coming and sitting in the back row by myself, and I remember getting out and coming up to the doors and like being able to feel a presence, you know? And I came in and sat down, and I just broke out in tears. I was crying. I had to leave. Like, I couldn't handle it, you know? I was breaking. And so I went back home, and that happened pretty much every time I tried to come in here. But I was able to start listening to sermons and stuff online. My life was still falling apart, though. You know, I could see God, but I was just given little bits of things to change at a time. Like, I wasn't told, like, I didn't think I was doing anything wrong still with drugs. You know, like, the same thing happened with cussing. Like, my whole life, I thought cussing was okay. And then one day, it wasn't. One day, it made me not feel right inside, you know? So it's just like little pieces I had to change at a time. I would have been too overwhelmed if it would have been all at once like that. Anyways, so I'm like listening to sermons online at home a lot. Like, I would listen to the same ones that were posted Sunday. I would listen to them the whole week over and over and over again. And there was just like, whenever I was thinking about things in my life that made a difference, there's a sermon in there, and he said, "The greater the hurt, the greater the change." And that gave me hope, you know, like, because I was hurting so bad, so my life was going to change. So about this time, I was doing a lot of air duster with other drugs because it would make it over the top, like, basically. And on air duster, you could pretty much stay unconscious. It went from nothing to unconscious. And so I remember doing that. And I'd wake up in my vomit, and I would just stay there. You know, like, I wouldn't even try to get up and clean anything. I would just want to pass back out again. And I really, like, my kids were gone. They were with my mom at that point. My husband was gone. He was in prison. I was by myself in a big house. I wasn't even paying the bills. I don't even know if I had electricity most of the time, you know? Like, I don't know how I was still there. But I couldn't find any good people in the world. I thought the world was, like, nobody to understand me. Because inside, like, I felt something, but I couldn't express it. And I looked a mess. Like, what people saw was different. So all the emotions, like, just felt meaningless. Like, what was the point anymore? God spoke to me. And I wasn't even thinking about God when he spoke to me. And he said, I'll be your friend. And that's all I needed was a friend, you know? And God's still my best friend. Sometimes I have a hard time with words, you know? Like, words are hard. And, like, God knows me on the inside and the way I feel. And I don't have to explain things to him. When this happened, I was filled with joy, hope, and love. And I was still on drugs, so I was a little bit crazy in expressing this. But those were true emotions that I didn't think were meaningless, you know? And what's crazy in here, every time we watch these videos every week, they're making me cry because these are the emotions that I believe in, you know? And I didn't even know they had anything to do with Advent. But those are the emotions that God gave me and I hung on to. He started teaching me things, because I would wander in my thoughts a lot. My brain wasn't right, and he would teach me to pay attention to what was in front of me. You know, pay attention to the people that he'd put in front of me at that moment. Like, as I would wander, I would be like an overwhelming, like, hey, you got to do this. I'd be driving, and if somebody get in front of me, like, instead, if I would start feeling angry, no, you're going to get there when you're supposed to get there. You know, this is where you're supposed to be. It was like just this just learning process of how to be right. And I was happy. I was happy again. I remember the day that I decided that, like, I didn't really want to live, you know? I didn't want to die because I didn't want to, like, hurt people, but, like, I just didn't want to be here anymore. And I remember the day that I didn't think I wanted to die anymore. Like, and it was a good day. That was a good day. I just was like, I think I like life. I think I even put my seatbelt on that day. So I ended up getting sober. I kind of got tricked into it a little bit because I ended up going to jail like 3 days in a row. And so the first day I was like, oh, I've got to go to treatment. I'd never been to treatment, you know. I was like, I got to go to treatment because I was trying to get my kids back, you know. And they kept asking me, don't you want your kids back? And I was like, not if I am going to be like this. Like, I knew it wasn't right, you know. And so I go to treatment and then I leave and then I got arrested again. I got bonded out, got arrested again, and this time they put a new law in Abilene, and I call it the Mindy Law still, but it was abusing toxic vapor, and you can't do it in the city limits anymore. So if you're outside of the city limits, you're good. And it came with, like, a treatment thing on it. So they possibly wanted me to get help. I thought they were bullying me, but I guess I'll never know. They took me from jail to treatment center, so I thought I had to stay there since the sheriff took me over there. And they made us be awake and sober, and it was weird. It was super weird. And by, like, day 25, 26, I didn't think that I wanted to do that anymore, you know? I didn't think. Like, I thought I wanted something different. And I ended up going to Oxford, which was great. I was only there for maybe 6 months, but it's what I needed. I needed to be around other people doing the same thing as I did. I left there. I probably would have stayed longer, but I got a house that my kids could come back home with me. And I just kept following God. Like, it's everything, just like I said, how I came to give my testimony, this is how I follow God. Like, even if it's something I'm super uncomfortable with, like, I know his way's better. Like, it's better than what my way is going to be. And I trust my God. I done this women's study, and we read the Bible. We started reading the Bible in it, and we are on a chapter. I don't remember what chapter it is, but it's a... Saul was walking, and he sees Jesus. And he's like, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? You know, and, like, sometime in that reading that, I wanted to talk about it because I believe, like, I always even said my prayers in Jesus' name. Like, I believed in Jesus. I was kind of jealous of Jesus. I knew that wasn't the right thing, but he was like this great guy, close to God and everything, but it wasn't like 100% in me. And I talked to a girl about it, and after reading that and talking to one of them, and then she's like, well, God is your Jesus. And it's like, I've heard that so many times, but like then it stuck, and it was like an imprint or a vision put in my head, you know, like if you look at something, close your eyes, and it's still there. I could see a man's face, you know, and I knew that he'd been there all along. Like, I wasn't betraying the God that had helped me and been pulling me out of things to believe. It was like they were combined together, you know, and I'm so happy I was able to see it, because like that's the kind of person I am. I had to be 100% inside of me. And I would pray, and like there'd always be a bright light whenever I had my eyes closed praying, and then I could see like a silhouette of a man next to the bright light, and I was like, this is so amazing, you know. I wish I could say I could still see it, but it was just one of those things that was there, and then it started fading after a few days, you know. But I still truly believe that Jesus and my God are in one. Right now, like, with my family, like, my kids bounce back pretty well. I have a teenager who doesn't want to come to church, but like I just keep doing what I do, and like I'll read my Bible in front of him. You know, he sees me have it out at least a few times a week. I wake him up every morning and ask him if he wants to come to church with me, even though I know the answer is no. He's told me no for like years, and I still wake him up every morning to make sure. He's always invited. And the other day he came in and he was like, a little bit irritated, he said, well, I just don't believe in what you believe in, you know? And I loved it, because he has a little bit of irritation in him, so that means there's something stirring in him, you know? And then I've got Bryce, who, he had a bad couple years in school, and he would be out in the hallway a lot or down at the principal's a lot, and it was last year. I prayed for him, I guess. I never prayed with him. And I remember the first time I put my hands on him to pray, it felt so weird, like super weird, but I did it anyways. I prayed for him, and he'd have good days and bad days, but no real change, you know? And we prayed, we still pray, but every day for a year, just for guidance for him. And I went to parent-teacher conferences this year, and she said that she's seen none of that behavior, that he's always very good in class. He's like, if he does start talking, which is normal for a kid, that he's well-directed back to what he was supposed to be doing, and he always apologizes. So his behavior in school is completely 100% turned around, and he still will not go to sleep without praying. He'll be like, hey, Mom, let's do prayer, you know? And I love it that I've instilled that in him. So I was telling you about the cussing, like how God has given me little bits of things to change. I have a friend that I lived at Oxford with, and I love her so much. And I got her to do the Women of Valor with me this year, and she's never been to church before. And I've got her reading the Bible, and she's praying and just following a little bit of suggestions. And all of a sudden, I see her being convicted of things. And like, it's so amazing, because it's things that I've always cringed when she's done, and she's noticing them now and wanting to change them on her own. And I'm like, it's just amazing that can happen to somebody that's never been to church, you know? And she's just by a little bit of guidance, and I love it. I love showing people what I know or what I've seen. And it's super awkward right now, because I've never done it for all these people at once, or even set a time, you know, like God, I can feel God fill me with words and like what I'm saying to somebody as I'm saying them, you know. And when you talk about God's goodness, it's easy, you know, it brings itself to life. But like to actually set a date and be like, okay, yeah, on this day, I'm going to make sure I'm connected to you, God, on that day to come over here. And like, no, what if I wake up in a bad mood? Like, what if I can't pray that day? Because there are days that, like, I'm in prayer and I'm like, where are you? You know, like, I can't find you. My thoughts are too crazy right now. I do know that one day in church, I usually sit in the back. I like it back there. I don't know. I try coming up here. Sometimes I prefer the back, but we were in worship, and sometimes in worship, I'm kind of doing my own thing, and Pastor says, somebody's having a revelation, and I was like, that was super important to me, because it was like an understanding. I was thinking about a reading that I was reading, and I was thinking about Jesus, and it was like an understanding that was coming to me, and I was like, and it felt so right and good. And it's just, when he said that, if he wouldn't have said that day, I wouldn't have been able to pick out the times I should be listening and those understandings that are coming to me and following those understandings, you know, like, if he wouldn't have said that day. And it's kind of made it easier to sort through the mess that's in my head, you know, because I have a lot of words up there, but that was an understanding, you know? It wasn't just a bunch of meaningless words. I work at Sonic still. I keep praying about that because I don't know how long I'm supposed to be there. It's hard work. It really is. It's hard to be good there because of the people I'm around, you know? Like, it's hard not to just fall into what they're doing. But there was this girl there, and she was going through a hard time. Like, she's bad on drugs. She's way young, though. I don't think she's ready to change right now. And she told me one day, she's like, well, I think you're actually a Christian, you know? And I like that, because what if I keep doing right and being true and doing what God's wanting me to do right then and saying, you know, just following what I believe, I might plant a seed in her, you know? I might, for in 20 years from now, she'll be like, man, there was this lady that I knew whenever I worked at Sonic, and she done this or said this, you know? And so maybe I am in the right place, because I am able to help a lot of people, you know, that are not on the right path right now. There was another guy, I go to AA meetings still, and there was a guy, and he was homeless. He'd only been clean like 3 days, and he needed a job, and I was able to give him a job, but he needed shoes first to be able to work, you know, and he's still there, and it's been, what, a couple months now, and he's still working there. So I love it when God's able to let me do good things, even at Sonic, because it sounds like it's just meaningless work, you know, like I'm not doing anything there, but I think it's just, even if it's planting one seed, you know, like that's all that I need to be worried about right now until God has me doing something else, I guess. Can I be done?
Amen. Wow. Give it another hand. That's so neat. I like it. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Isn't it neat just to see what spiritual insight, you know, spiritual insight that God has given her, and just the depth that he's put inside of you. And that simple yet spiritually complex way of just bringing it out, and how God speaks and how you transfer that to us, man. It's powerful. I've been around a lot of preachers, and I've sat under, you know, a lot of teaching, and that's probably one of the most simple and spiritually depth stories I've ever heard, man. The way you explain the things of God. Thank you so much. Wasn't that awesome? I just loved it, man. Oh, man. And I was thinking about you, because I know how you kind of struggle with anxiety, and I thought, man, the worst thing to do is to tell you 3 weeks ahead that you're going to be. I'm like, gosh, I was worried about you. Because I knew that, you know, the anxiety would start kicking out. I was like, man, I want to. I looked around. I said, where's Mindy? And I go up there. There she is. So, yeah, was it a battle? It was good. Praise God. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you. Because we haven't talked since, what, 3 weeks ago, like when I asked you. It's awesome. It's a beautiful testimony. God bless you. Amen. Man, well, praise God to hear from God and through his people. I think that's the church. That's who we are as a people. And I know some people would say, you know, Pastor, you haven't spoken in a while. And you know what? This has been filling me up, man, spiritually. This has just been reconfirming faith in me and just feeding me. And so every testimony that's been mentioned here this throughout this, what, 5 weeks, man, it's just been powerful. It's just been very encouraging and healthy for my spirit. So I want to thank everyone for that. Wow, powerful. Amen. And you guys are like, we are going to get out of here by 11:30. Oh my gosh. Like, this is a move of God. Praise God. God is good. God is good. So, amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give him a moment, just as we just wait on him. Mr. Worship Team, why don't you come back up here for a moment for us? Hallelujah. Man. Yeah, amen. You know, we're headed into the new year just in a couple weeks. And, my challenge, I guess, for myself and for you that are hearing today is let's find out what God wants to do to this in this year. Let's find out how God wants to use us and where God wants to lead us. You know, every year seems to have a theme to it and a representation. The last year, you know, 2021, I mean, what we just went through, it's just been a challenging year. I mean, it's been a challenging year in so many different ways. But I truly believe that, you know, Mindy has reminded me that Isaiah, the prophet, said, I'll never allow labor pains to come without producing something new. And the pains of labor, I assume it's difficult. I could tell by the grimacing look on my wife's face when she was giving birth, so I just figured that's probably not a fun thing to go through. But it produces something precious and something new and something that was birthed in you. Wow. And I believe there's a lot of things this year that's been birthed in us. There's been a lot of things that's happened that's caused a lot of contemplation. It's caused a lot of theology challenges. But I believe that those moments and events have come to grow us into who God is wanting us to be and who God is calling us to be. And just as importantly, where God is calling us. The timing and the culture that's moving. And I believe God is going before us and he's preparing us for that culture. He's preparing us for those questions or those answers to the questions that are emerging right now in people. And as Mindy said, she's a sonic, and there's questions that are existing. And God has got her in the right place. And God has prepared her with a substance that can be found no other well except no other place except for life experiences. And then God using our life experiences to navigate us and to lead us and to mold us. So we can glorify him to other people. To really feel and experience some of that stuff is so important for us. Where you are at is so important, church. It's just, as if somebody had said, it's not really a matter of where you're at locationally, it's a matter of what God's done in you. I disagree. I think they're both equally important. I think the steps of a righteous person are ordered of God. No matter where those steps lead you, It's easy to slough off the bad places that we ended up, or the bad experiences that we ended up this year, or, and the bad news that we've had. But the Bible still says the steps of a righteous person are ordered of him. Good and bad. God will take those bad areas and those bad things, and He'll use them for his glory and his purpose. Not to despise those things, but to trust. And have the faith and the trust that we just saw testified here. Boy, that was my challenge when she was speaking. That was my ache inside of me. God, I want to be able to stand and know with confidence and assurance that wherever you lead me, there's a plan and a purpose in my life for it. And that, God, don't let me stand in a place that I don't like and be bitter and shut down and stop somebody from entering into the kingdom of God because of my life. Because I didn't share it, because I was upset, or because I didn't agree with it. Help me to look around of who you've given me and where you've placed me, because those are the people you've called me to minister to and speak to. And let me look at my life. And let me begin to reflect lessons, spiritual faith lessons that I've gleaned from them. And those aren't just for me. Those are for others. And you said it in your word that we are a written epistle seen of man. That we're written on us is the testimony and the grace of God. How unique and how specific it is, and how loving it is that God uniquely worked something, crafted something so neat in my life so I could share it with other people. And if it hadn't been for some of those places that I've been, my effectiveness wouldn't be where it is today. Some of you don't know your effectiveness because maybe you've just been shut down and you've shut your mouth, and maybe we've been resentful because of where we've been placed, because of what we've been through. Well, I think we're missing it when we do that. I do. I think those experiences have created a hunger inside of us and a passion inside of us and a desire inside of us that cannot be birthed anywhere else. I think those pains have created a closeness to the Savior that you could not have gotten anywhere else. I think the desperation that you went through convinced you that nothing works but Him, and that He is my ever-present help in time of need. Boy, I tell you what, desperation taught me that. When I didn't feel like I can move, when I didn't feel like I could breathe, when I didn't feel like I had words to say, the Holy Spirit would come and minister to me fresh and new. There's many times just this year that I've laid in my face right here. And I didn't have words to say. I just said, God, I'm tired of hearing my own voice. I'm tired of hearing it. But the presence of God would move on me and just paralyze me there, just keep me there. And sometimes I didn't hear anything. All I felt was His presence, and that's all I needed. Sometimes I'd hear God speak to me and warn me, and, you know, about what I was about to fall into and what I was believing, the lie I was believing about it. But those places that He's taken us are for a reason, church. They are. So God, now let the harvest begin. Let me begin to speak out. Let me begin to share. Let me begin to possess a love and the heart of the Savior to the people that You've given me. God, what do You want me to speak into their lives? I've given You everything that You need to speak that. I've given You everything that You need to understand them. I've given You everything that You need to fill the gap. Just speak it. I guess two things I would say to you today is, maybe this, before the year ends, what did you learn this year, church? Get your journal out. Get your papers out. Get your study time out and say, God, what did You show me this year through that? Do your timeline. Go through the peaks and the valleys of your life in 2021, church. I'm serious, dead serious about this. And then now, when you see the peaks and the valleys, now ask the Holy Spirit, what did I learn? What faith lesson did I glean from that because those are issues of life. Those are life saviors for somebody. And those are deep spiritual things that cultivate intimacy with God that you can get nowhere else. But I think we can miss them. I mean, you know, Jacob said it. God was here all along and I never knew it. Didn't he say that? He had a dream and he had a time of reflection when he realized saw the Jacob's ladder and God began to reveal to him. But I believe he was listening. And I believe whether you're dreaming or not doesn't matter. I believe you got to say, God, I'm listening now. Speak to me. What? There's no way I went through that for no reason. There's no way. Let me know what it is. And I promise you, as you begin to set out to seek to understand and to have understanding, that God will begin to reveal to you those faith lessons. So that's the first thing, man. God, let's do some reflection. When's the last time that's happened to us? Secondly, open your eyes. Jesus said, open your eyes. Look at the harvest. It's plentiful and it's ready. Go and reap them. Go and reap them because God's got people ready to receive him. The Holy Spirit has drawn them to you. Those conversations are not just haphazard. They're set and appointed. No man could come unto the Father except for the Spirit that draweth them. Guess what? The Spirit has drawn them to you because they're ready. And you've done your work. You've done your reflection. You've got your prophetic voice and your faith lesson. You know why. And you know, maybe not everything, but there's some faith lessons you've pulled and obtained. Now you're ready to share those. Look around you. Open your eyes. Where you are at is what you'll be accountable for. That's what the stewardship of God. I've given you those talents, and what did you do with them? I've given you those people. I've put you in front of them. I've given you a platform, and what did you do with it? You buried it because you're too shy, too scared, too self-absorbed to speak? Or did you use it for his glory? Come on. Those two things is my challenge, and I believe that's what I got out of it. Mindy, thank you so much. I just believe I got that out of your message today. So we stand to our feet this morning as we close. Listen to me, I hope you take me up on this. Peaks and valleys of 2021, church. Peaks and valleys. And open up your spiritual ears for God to speak. Revelation's going to come to you. Listen. Listen to that voice. And then look for the opportunity. Can we do that this morning? Peaks and what? Come on, they're of God. Every peak is of God, every valley is God. Rain shall fall on the just and the unjust. Nothing. God is the maker of them all. That's what Scripture tells you. His providence and sovereignty, he said, nothing is done without his permission. And I believe in that. And God could take sin and make it and use it for his glory. He doesn't call us to sin, but he can use sinful things for his glory. Joseph was pushed in that hole. That was sinful, but it was for his glory. Somebody say amen. His brothers betrayed him. That was sinful. It's all in their minds, but God used that for his glory to save Israel. That's huge. Hallelujah. Peaks and valleys. God bless you this morning. Will you spend a few moments just let the Holy Spirit just seal that? I want you to take what you heard today from Mindy, and I want you to take the challenge that the Holy Spirit spoke to you, and I want you to consummate it this morning with the challenge that you heard from your pastor. You are a written epistle. Find out what it's saying.
Find out specific, unique things that God has used your experience, wants to use your experience for. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. I don't know, is you just playing or was you going to lead us into a song? But I'd like to just lead us into a song that just kind of helps us solidify this moment for us. I feel like it's a moment. I feel like this is a spiritual moment. Well, God said, I'm going to make it make sense. I'm going to do as many said. I'm going to bring understanding. There are just words and experiences that float around in our head, but it takes God to bring the understanding. The weigher of the heart, isn't that what the Bible says? For there's plans millionfold in the minds of man, but God is the weigher of the heart. He's the one who sorts them out and brings substance to those things. Come on. I love you. I love this church, and I love you. I love his people, and I love what God's doing. And I love the testimonies I'm hearing from the first one that we had, Miss Merrill, all the way down to Miss Mindy. Beautiful. God bless you this morning. Was you gonna lead us in anything? God bless you this morning. Just spend a few moments. Just let God help me to show peaks and valleys. Let me be sensitive to that. Do this year as I go and carve out a time. Amen. God bless you. We love you.